My message tonight is taken from a verse, maybe a verse and a half. You'll see what I mean in a minute. From the third chapter of Ephesians, verses 17 and 18. I'm sorry, 18 and 19. But let me just read the second part of verse 17 of Ephesians 3. That he, being rooted and grounded in love, that's the word that's appeared quite often in the hymns tonight, love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now I want to talk to you about the love of God in Christ. And as we started the service in describing this love, it's put like this: O love of God, how strong and true. And so it's not something sentimental that we're considering when we hear such words. As people used to say of the verse, God is love, they turned it the other way around wrongly and said that love is God. No, that's not right. It's possible for human love to be corrupted and to become at best sentimental, at worst evil. But what we're thinking about tonight is something that is perfect and that is true and that is strong, the love of God in Christ. Now, before we come to that, I need to prepare the ground of your heart for this seed of love. I don't know much about farming, so I hope I've got my facts right. But before any seed can be sown, the farmer needs to plough the land. The fallow ground needs to be broken up. Otherwise, it's not going to be ready for seed. And as I see it, there is much fallow ground to break up. And it's not my business tonight to spend too much time on this, but I want to say you are more evil than you've ever imagined yourself to be. But the love of God in Christ is more amazing than you've ever conceived it. That's the context of preparing your hearts for this message about God's love. We read from one of the most famous chapters in the Bible that deals with the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But in that chapter, the word condemned was used as often as love. And this is the balance of the Bible. Jesus Christ, you know, mentioned hell more than heaven. I'm not giving you my opinion. That's the facts. And if you want to appreciate this love that we're going to consider tonight, then you need to realize that you are to become a Christian not just because it's a nice thing to experience forgiveness, but because you are in great need. And unless something happens to you, unless you have a saving encounter with Christ, then you will go on to be eternally condemned. We're already in a state of condemnation by default, because this world is a city of destruction under the righteous judgment of God. And when we're thinking about the love of God, it's not a deluxe edition of Christianity. It's something that you desperately need. So that's the preparation of the heart. Why must I become a Christian? Is it just to please my parents? Is it just so that I can know God? Yes, but more than that, It's because you need to be saved. I hope you're not thinking of evil in terms of something you read in Stig Larsson or something you see in films, people like Hannibal Lecter. Now, that's our conception of evil. But according to the Bible, the greatest evil is within. Now then, I better switch this off before going any further. We can deceive ourselves sometimes by thinking that it's those who are outside the church that need the love of Christ. Yes, they do, but we need it as well. Now let's think of this love. Do you know it? Paul here, in the verses we're considering, talks about comprehending the love of God. That means our minds are engaged. But he also deals with knowing this love. And that's more than head knowledge. It's experiencing it. You know, I love the mountains. I could try and describe a scene to you tonight, but that's not quite loving it. Yes, the mind is involved, but the heart has to be there as well. And if I can use another illustration, if you think of a beautiful flower, you may love that, the aroma and the colours, but the moment you try and dissect that flower, you're already destroying it. And it's like that when dealing with love. In explaining the love of God, I'm already partly pulling it apart. What we must do tonight, you know, is not just know about the Saviour and his love, but know him and experience it to the depths of our being. Now then, without further ado, let's look at this love. We know why we need it. How can we get our minds around it? It's uncomprehended, yes, but for our sakes and because the Word of God does it, we must put into words something about this love which we so desperately need to hear about if we're going to be saved. Well, I'm using my imagination here. Again, we're thinking of the landscape. And isn't Wales a beautiful country? You can stand on top of Penyfan and you can look at the scene ahead towards Brecon, the rolling hills, the patchwork of fields, and on a really clear day, you can see as far as Plynlimmon near Aberystwyth. You can even see as far as Cader Idris in Meirionnyddshire, and it's beautiful. It gets even better the further north you go. But then, if you look behind, south, towards Merthyr, you can see a blot on the landscape, the open cast workings. Now, I want you to think of our sin as a blot in the beautiful landscape of God's world. Now, what are we told here about the love of God in Christ? Here am I, and the vileness of my heart because of sin. And I'm asking the question, can God save me? Can the love of God in Christ come to me? Is this blot so vast that the love of God cannot fill it? So what are we told about this love? Well, let's look at the four-dimensional love of God in Christ. And the first dimension is the breadth, that he, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. Is this love sufficient enough to cover the breadth of sin? What are we talking about here? Well, it's the great number of people that are sinners. We're a fairly large congregation tonight, but we're just a speck in the city of Cardiff, the majority of the population of this place are given, to sin. And it seems that this blot, in terms of its breadth, is too much for the love of God in Christ to cover. We're in a minority. And I want to be a Christian, but I see that if I am going to believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to be part of a small group of people. The vast majority of people are still going to be outside. So what's your answer in terms of the love of God in Christ? Well, John, in the last book of the Bible, had a vision of heaven. And he didn't see a handful. This is how he describes it. He saw a vast number of people. How vast? Listen to these words. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. There's going to be more people in heaven than in hell. Now, are you going to be among them? The breadth. This gospel isn't something to be preached behind closed doors. I count it a great privilege to be able to preach it here tonight, but I don't want to limit my preaching to this church because of the breadth of the love of God. This gospel is to be preached in men's breakfasts. This same message is to be preached in children's holiday Bible clubs. This message is to be preached in the open air on Queen Street. There is nowhere that is out of bounds for the gospel because of the breadth. You see, we must get rid of this mentality which says that small is beautiful. Yes, it may be, but when we're thinking of the love of God in Christ and of the numbers who are saved, it's big thoughts we want. And there's something else about the breadth, and I can see here tonight evidence of it. It's not limited to one group. What do you make of this? Any other society in Cardiff tonight will have certain characteristics. Say now, for the sake of argument, that we were thinking of a model railway club. Not that I would join such a society, not that there's anything wrong with it. Well, the type of people that will probably go to a model railway club would be of a certain age, a certain temperament. It would be quite narrow. Even if you're thinking of the students' gatherings in the pubs in the town, it would be a certain age, a certain type of person. But look at us here tonight. There are children here, there are students here, there are middle-aged people here, there are even older people here. You see, Christianity touches all kinds of people. There are certainly Welsh people here. There are even English people. There are people from other nationalities. It's not just limited to one culture. It's all nations. This is why Christianity isn't national. Every other religion is confined to a certain area of the world. I gave this illustration a few weeks ago before going to India. Hinduism is found mainly in the east of India. You have Islam in the West, and you can have this view that if you're Western, then you're going to be a Christian. Not at all. This is something for all people groups. The breadth of the love of God. That is why in heaven it won't be just Welsh people. Listen to this. This is how John went on to describe what he saw. I beheld a great multitude, which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. So what does this mean to me, you ask? Well, it simply means this. Nothing excludes you from Christ. I hope you youngsters don't get the impression that Christianity is for older people. That while you're young, you enjoy life as if Christianity was boredom. And then when you get to a certain age, you believe in Jesus Christ. No! Do you know the greatest preachers in the history of the church have been in their 20s? I'm past it. So that's the first thing, the breadth. The breadth of the blot of sin is not too big for the love of God. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. This is the same message. I was brought up to go to chapel. That wasn't Christianity. That was man-made religion. You may be brought up as an atheist or brought up with another religion. That's man-made. This is God-made. Then what other dimension have we got? The length. The length. What's this? The length. Oh, doesn't it seem that the blot of sin in the landscape is so vast? It seems to stretch from one end of the horizon to the other. Can the love of God possibly cover this? Now, when we think of our love, it's not that long, is it? I'm not talking from experience now, but when you think of people falling in love, it seems these days as if people are falling in and out of love all the time. Maybe it's the fault of the soap operas. I can't keep up with them. There is no such thing as a stable relationship these days. Because love is so emotional, people go according to their feelings. Now, if the love of God in Christ was like that, there'd be no hope for any of us here tonight. Now, how long is this love? Do you want to know how far back it stretches? It wasn't an afterthought on God's part to love this world. When God created this world, he made it perfect. But our first parents listened to the devil, and this world fell. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. That's why there is death. That's why there is disasters and diseases and lack of harmony. That's why you are in this sinful state and need to be saved. But it wasn't an afterthought after the fall for God to love and to do something. How far back? Loved with everlasting love. Far before time, beyond creation's dawn, before the sun and moon and stars were born, salvation's way for sinners lost and undone was counseled forth by God, the three in one. Now, you're sounding too complicated, preacher, for me. I've come in here tonight to know about Christianity, and you're talking about something that happened from before the creation of the world. What comfort and hope is that to me? Well, it is just this. If love on God's part was an afterthought, then there wouldn't be much hope for any of us. But if this is something that goes right back to eternity, then there is hope for me. The length, back in time. And what about the future? This is how John in the Gospel described Jesus' love for his people. Having loved them, he loved them to the end. How far forward does it go? You know, Christianity and becoming a Christian isn't just about being forgiven and that's it. It's about a plan on God's part. We'll come to the details of the plan in a moment. But when God does something in your heart and you come to know his love in Christ and you're saved, then that's the start of something. And it's wonderful. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The length of the love in terms of the future. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, if I'm saved tonight, if I decide to follow Christ, what will happen if illness strikes? Will I fall away from him? No, that won't separate you from his love. Indeed, it will prove that you're loved of him. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's wonderful. If Christianity was something you did, if salvation was your plan, there wouldn't be an assurance. Its length would be as long as we could endure. You know, we all have our interests, especially if you're teenagers. You have an interest, and then after a few years, you try something new. I remember trying golf. I even had lessons. And then computers. I didn't last long with that, as you know. And then something else, and then something else. And some of you respond to the gospel like that just because you're doing it in your own way. That's not God's work. When God does something, it lasts. How long does it last for? You know, you've had these things with a lifetime guarantee. I used to think when I was a child that lifetime guarantee meant forever. Well, it doesn't mean forever. It means as long as you live. Now, it's amazing to see married couples staying together for a lifetime these days. But this love goes beyond death. And that's just the beginning in one sense. It will blossom after that. It will go on forever. Nothing else will. The length. I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's self-fed. That is, it's not us at all. Did you feel sometimes, if you're trusting in Christ, you've maybe believed for the last few months or years, you younger people who came to faith about 2 years ago, and it feels as if you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth. You know the skin of your teeth? It's so delicate, isn't it? You know, you feel you're going to slip any moment. How can I continue? I'm finishing school. I'm going to go to uni, or I'm going to work. How can I survive? My friend, who's talking about surviving? It's not your feeble hold on Christ that matters, but God's grip on you. And you know what? Even if your hold fails, you're going to fall, but you're not going to fall down. You're going to fall into his hands. The length of the love of God in Christ. Once an Arnian, always an Arnian. If you truly believe in Christ, nothing shall separate you. And then the other dimension, the third dimension. Depth. You may say to me, ah, yes, it's wonderful to hear about this love covering the breadth and the length of the blot of sin. But isn't this love just an inch deep? You Christians, you seem so superficial. You don't really know about sin. You don't know about the mind and about the precipices of the mind and the maze of the mind and then the emotions and how deceptive they can be. Well, this love reaches deeper than depths of self-despair. I don't want to ask who here has been the lowest in the pits. But I do know this. I don't know if this is theologically correct. But when Paul said, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief, that when you're touched by the Spirit and really want to be saved in God's way, you are going to say, the apostle got it wrong. He's not the chief of sinners. I am. I'm the one who deserves hell. I've got no problem with God sending me there. I can see in my heart the seed of all sin. I disagree with what Hitler did, but I wouldn't have been any better if I were in his shoes. But for the grace of God, there go I. Nothing surprises me about the world. You can produce your worst criminals because my heart is the greatest betrayer of them all. How deep will this love go? No matter how far down you've gone, this love can reach you. I hope I'm not making it more complicated here, but this question was asked in the letter to the Romans, chapter 10. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall send into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? Is that your worry tonight? Can I really be saved? You don't know, Pastor, how unbelieving I am. You don't know how often I've sinned. You don't know how far I've gone. You don't realize how deep my despair is. Well, maybe if I don't, God does. And Christ is sufficient. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. No exceptions. What's the depth of his love? Christ left the courts of glory, the perfect world of heaven, and he came into this sin-sick world. That's amazing. Was it around Christmas time that Prince William, did you read about this, went to the centre of London and slept with the down and outs? He was only there for a night. He had security around him. It wasn't that much of a sacrifice because the next night he was going to be back in the palace. The son of the King of Kings, 2,000 years ago, came into this world, not for a night, but for over 30 years. And he didn't just come here, he became one of us. That was such humiliation on his part. The God, man, can you get your mind around that? That's the depth of the love of God in Christ. The Son of God, who'd been with the Father from eternity, becoming a man. That's how deep this love went. And how far did he go? He didn't just live among us. And what a people to dwell with. He made the world, and yet they ignored him. He came to his own, and his own would have him not. He lived a perfect life, the only one to have ever done so, and he was accused as a traitor. He went as far as Calvary, and it was on that cross that he demonstrated the depths of God's love. For God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrates it. He makes it conspicuous in that while we were sinners, Christ died. That's the good news that I've got to declare to you here tonight, that you don't have to go to hell because Christ suffered instead of sinners. In their place, condemned, he stood. That's the depth of this love. My sin, past, present, future, can be forgiven in an instant because Christ took it away in a moment. The depth. And I want to tell you that this Christ loves sinners. He's the friend of sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I hope that this group of people that is here tonight is a congregation of sinners. When you've got nothing, to lose. Sinner, stop clinging on to your goodness. Let it go, because Christ can give you a perfect robe of righteousness. He can blot out your transgressions in a moment. He invites you to come without money and without anything. The only qualification he asks of you is that you come. I nearly got thrown out of a newsagent once for asking the person behind the counter if he had anything for free. I don't recommend you doing it. Children, don't listen to that. But listen to this. Go to Christ and say, I'm asking you to forgive me for free because you promise the depth. I wish I could talk for more on it, but the fourth dimension is this, the height. You know, when you trust in Christ and are forgiven, that's just the start. When I was first convicted of my sin and I wanted to be saved, I sought the Lord, like some of you are doing, and I would give anything just to go to heaven, just to have my sin blotted out, just to have a place in heaven. It didn't matter if it was just a bed sit, just to escape hell, that's all I wanted. And it would be an awesome thing if God was to do just that. But he's the God of the so much more, the height of the love of God in Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Not only does he forgive, but he makes a rebel, a saint, and a son, adopted into the royal family of heaven. As Billy Bray used to delight in this, I am doing now. I feel a nobody in this large city. And you may feel just like that, but listen, with Christ, you have an elder brother, and you have God as your father, and you be the king's son. If you trust in him, not only are you going to heaven, but you have the God of the universe at your side, who has promised to work together all things for your good. You are no longer aimless in your living. You have a purpose, and that purpose is to know this God. You are but traveling through this world, and you're going home. Heaven now is going to be your dwelling place. That's how high this love can take you. Not only, you see, are you forgiven and adopted into the family of God, but God is preparing you for that place. Oh, why aren't you a Christian tonight if you're still unsaved? What possible reason have you got to stay away from Christ? Are you still afraid that the blot of your sin is too big for this four-dimensional love of God in Christ to fill? What excuse have you got? Why are you still stubborn? I just want to plead with you. I wish I could feel you were desperate state more. But we're not here in this world for long. Mr. Jackson was sitting there last Sunday evening. He's now in eternity because he trusted in Christ. He's in heaven, a far better place than this vale of tears. But you who are old here, how do you know if you're going to be here next Sunday? And if you're not going to be here, are you going to be in heaven? Do you have an assurance? Do you know where you're going? That's how important it is. And all of us who may have a few more years left in this world, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know whether we'll be in an accident tomorrow. We don't know whether we'll be afflicted with a serious illness. We don't know whether our hearts, which are tender at this moment, will be hardened. Now is the time to respond. Don't delay it. Why do you put things off? And if you already trust in Christ, don't rest with the knowledge of that. Yes, comprehend this love, but know it as well. That's what we need more than anything else, to have the Spirit fill our hearts to overflowing with this amazing love. May God touch you where you are, and may every one of us know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God in Christ. Amen.